Welcome to the Afghan Eye YouTube channel. If this is your first visit, make sure to subscribe and press the notification bell so that you won't miss any of our new videos.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to episode 5 of season 2 of the Afghan Eye podcast. I'm your host, Ahmed Walid Karkard, and in today's episode, like in previous episodes, we'll be covering the major news coming out of Afghanistan over the past weeks. Now, it is 2024, but before we get into the events that concluded 2023, if you are new to the podcast, I'd like to welcome you here. If you're watching us on YouTube, please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and press the notification bar so you don't miss any of our content as it comes out. And if you are listening to us on whichever audio streaming service, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., you can always support us by subscribing and leaving a review on whichever platform you are using. Finally, if you agree with our cause of Afghans leading and redefining the discussion on Afghanistan, you can always support us by becoming a patron on our Patreon or through a one-time donation via PayPal. And now it is 2024, and I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everyone listening and watching a happy new year. I know that there will be some people that will criticize me for congratulating people based on the Gregorian calendar and not abiding by the Islamic calendar, but given that we are in the West and it is a calendar year, whether or not you want to acknowledge it, I don't think I can be faulted for extending good wishes to everyone. Now, I'd like to, if you will, apologize, because I did say that I wanted to do episodes like this on a fortnightly basis. However, the reality was that there really wasn't that much news coming out of Afghanistan, which in some respects you could consider to be good news. As per the old saying, no news is good news. However, the conclusion of 2023 brought with it some interesting developments of which we should be aware. Now, I'd like to announce very loudly that our newsletter covering the second half of 2023 is up and on our website at afghaneye.org. It will be the first article that you find on the website, and I will post the link for it in the description box. That newsletter, however, covers the second half of 2023, as in the second 6 months. We already covered the first half of 2023, and this is covering the second half, and some of the developments that we've already discussed on this episode will be in that newsletter. Now, to follow on from the previous episode, there have been primarily 2 to 3 principal developments with regard to Afghanistan of which we should be aware, and subsequent iterations of which we should follow going into 2024. The first development relates, predictably, to Pakistan. If you've been following season 2 of the podcast and generally news with regard to Afghanistan, you will have observed the deterioration of relations between Kabul and Islamabad, and that deterioration has had 2 recent developments. On the 18th of December 2023, an invitation was announced to have been extended to Maulana Fazlur Rahman, the leader of Pakistan's Jamiat-e-Ulama-e Islam party, by the Afghan ambassador to Pakistan. Now, here I have the article. Essentially, Fazl, or Maulana Fazlur Rahman, invited to Kabul amidst rising tensions. And the important takeaway here is this passage that I've highlighted. Sources, however, suggest that this development, as in this invitation, is part of the Afghan Taliban's efforts to utilize the JUI chief's influence to ease tension with Pakistan. And with that in mind, a sort of a brief introduction to Maulana Fazlur Rahman is in order. Now, as the article mentioned, Fazlur Rahman is the chief of the JUI, or the Jamiat-e-Ulama-e Islam, a political party in Pakistan, and is what could be considered one of the most, if not the most, influential politician in Pakistan. Maulana Fazlur Rahman is an ethnic Pashtun and is amongst the most influential politicians in Pakistan. A religiously trained scholar, he opposed the US invasion of Pakistan, as well as the then Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf's decision to ally with the US in its war on terror. Maulana Fazlur Rahman has been enthusiastic in supporting the Taliban both during their insurgency against the US occupation as well as following their takeover of Afghanistan in 2021. And over here, there is an interview with BBC Pashto in which Fazlur Rahman elucidated his then support for the Taliban's insurgency against the US occupation in Afghanistan. And if you don't understand Pashto, I will try to translate as we go along. So the interviewer asks, the fight that the Taliban, or the war that the Taliban are waging in Afghanistan, is this jaiz, permissible, as in speaking from a religious sense?
The Taliban are jaiz.
And Fazlur Rahman responds, yes, the war that the Taliban are waging is jaiz, as in religiously permissible. And the interviewer then asks him, is this your own position as well? Is this what you declare to be your opinion?
Pakistan
Pakistan لهذا په پاکستان کې چې ارسوک مصالح جنگ کوي موږ نه تاییدو لیکن دا ده چې د مسلې حل په مذاکراتو کې غواړو د طاقت په استعمال کې.
The BBC interviewer then asks Fazlur Rahman, is an armed fight against the Pakistani state religiously permissible? Fazlur Rahman responds saying that all of the religious parties and institutions in Pakistan do not want an armed conflict. However, they want to resolve any outstanding issues through negotiations. They are, of course, referring to the TTP.
دوی هم طالبان هم مذهبي خلک دي د سینې د سیکولر دي دوی هم په مذهب او په دین باور لرونکي خلک دي د دین طالب دي په حقیقت کې نو دوی چې څه شي کوي خو دوی هم فکر پکړې وي
دوی په فکر دی دا هغه نه دی په فکر دی
نو فکر کوي چې د دوی دا کار جایز ده کنه جایز
ما درته وګورم چې موږ نه ته دوی.
The BBC interviewer then says, well, the TTP are religious people, and whatever war they are waging against the Pakistani state is something that they must have pondered upon and considered. And Fazlur Rahman said, yeah, they probably did do so, but it's not something that we condone.
تاسې نه تاییدوئ په افغانستان کښې تاییدوئ په پاکستان کښې نه
موږ پاکستان کښې خپل چې کوم او تمام مذهبي جماعتونه تمام علما کرام تمام مدارس تمام مدارس تنظیمونه
په افغانستان کښې هم ټول مذهبي ګوندونه ټول علما ټول د مدارسو علما هغه دغه جنګ نه تاییدوي یعنې که دغه دلیل وي خو هلته هم دغه خبره ده
نه افغانستان کښې خو باقاعده د هغوی حکومت تسلیم شوی دی د هغو حکومت چې کوم دی هغه ملت هم منلی ده د هغو حکومت پاکستان هم منلی ده د هغو حکومت سعودي هم منلی ده د هغو حکومت امارات هم منلی ده بین الاقوامي تر باندې رسمي او غیر رسمي په دواړو حیثیتونو باندې په امریکا کښې د هغو نماینده ناست وو په یورپ کښې د هغو نماینده ګان ناست وو دنیا ټولو تسلیم کړ چې دا د افغانستان حکمرانان دي.
The BBC interviewer then posits an argument to Fazlur Rahman essentially saying that, well, that at least back then in Afghanistan, religious scholars and religious parties also were opposed to an armed conflict against the government, to which Fazlur Rahman says, well, yeah, but that doesn't really apply because Afghanistan's been invaded and had to submit to America. Fazlur Rahman articulated his argument in favor of the Taliban's insurgency on the basis that Afghanistan had been invaded, as opposed to Pakistan, which had not been invaded. And in Pakistan, any issues could be resolved peacefully through negotiations, whereas in Afghanistan, an armed struggle was necessary in order to liberate the country that had been forced to submit to America. And this video, in essence, encapsulates what Fazlur Rahman's perspective was. In Afghanistan, an armed conflict was permissible and necessary because the country had, as he put it, been forced to submit to America, whereas in Pakistan, any outstanding issues between the state and the TTP could be resolved through negotiations, and religious parties and religious scholars were opposed to armed conflict because the same criteria did not apply in Pakistan. Pakistan had not been invaded and occupied, and whereas Afghanistan had, thereby necessitating an armed conflict. As I mentioned, Fazlur Rahman is amongst the most influential politicians in Pakistan, and it's no exaggeration to say that he is respected and even adored by many. And where there is love, respect, and adoration, there is also its opposite, which is hate and disdain. Although we could make an argument that hate and love are not actually opposites, and the real opposite of love is indifference. But I don't want to get too philosophical into the nature of love here. And for the purpose of this podcast, we can safely assume that hate and love are opposites. And Fazlur Rahman, for the reasons stated in this interview, is disliked widely in Afghanistan as well as respected by certain segments within the Taliban. The understanding being that Fazlur Rahman is in favor of a Taliban-style government in Afghanistan and not in favor of the same in Pakistan. Indeed, in Pakistan, he's a willing participant in the democratic process. But there are actually two issues here, two factors at play, two determinants in whether or not one considers a jihad in Afghanistan to have been permissible. Number one is the presence of American troops and the occupation of Afghanistan. And the second is something of a more philosophical and abstract contention against republican forms of government, coming back to the premise or the question of who sovereignty belongs to, the questions of popular sovereignty and the nature of a republic as a whole based on the premise of popular representation. Fazlur Rahman did not articulate his argument in favor of the Taliban based on the government of Afghanistan under the US occupation being a republican one, but rather his argument was that an armed conflict in Afghanistan was necessary on the basis that the country, as he said, had been forced to submit. Now, whether or not he's correct or incorrect is beyond the point of this discussion, and I'm certainly not qualified to give an opinion as to whether a republican government does or does not conform with the outline or framework stipulated by Islam, but these are some of the things of which we need to be aware. The dichotomy, or at least the perceived dichotomy, in Fazlur Rahman's stance and preference for the Taliban in Afghanistan versus his opposition to the Taliban in Pakistan has been noted not just broadly in the Afghan political spectrum, but also within the Taliban itself, where some Taliban may hold him in high esteem and regard, will respect his pedigree as a religious scholar, whereas others will see him as opposition to Pakistan's military junta. The visit of Maulana Fazlur Rahman to Afghanistan has been confirmed for the 3rd of January 2024, where he is scheduled to meet members of the Afghan government, and whether or not he'll be able to facilitate a breakthrough in the deadlock between Kabul and Islamabad remains to be seen. Earlier this week, I spoke to Dr. Faiz Mohammad Zalant, a prominent Afghan analyst and a lecturer and PhD candidate in public administration in Kabul University, and I asked him whether or not we can expect a breakthrough in relations between Kabul and Islamabad. And Dr. Zalant told me that talks, as in talks between Kabul and Islamabad, are currently proceeding only on the basis of conditionality. The prospect of any specific breakthrough in such talks seems unlikely. A breakthrough would require a mediator acceptable to both sides, as in both Afghanistan and Pakistan, but there's no such mediator able to safeguard the interests of both parties. That would include Maulana Fazlur Rahman. Now, whilst we wait for January the 3rd, 2024, for Maulana Fazlur Rahman to visit Afghanistan and thereafter analyse whether or not that visit did materialise in any improvement in relations, today, in fact, the Afghan Minister of Defence, Mullah Yaqub, implicated Pakistani as well as Tajikistani citizens in carrying out attacks in Afghanistan. This video was posted by Yaqeen Media, and this event was held today in a security conference in Kabul. And once again, for those that don't understand Pashto, I will translate broadly what was being said. After the arrival of the Islamic Emirate into power,
in Afghanistan, the people who are in the mosques, the religious scholars, او د ولسی وګړو په اجتماعاتو تر سره سوي په هغو ټولو کې له بهرنیو اتباعو په ځانګړي توګه د تاجکستان هیواد له اتباعو څخه کار اخیستل سوی.
All of the attacks that have taken place against mosques, social gatherings have included foreign nationals, especially those from Tajikistan.
لسګونه تاجکستانی اتباع زموږ د امنیتي ځواکونو د عملیاتو په پایله کې وژل شوي او
As a consequence of our security operations, tens of Tajikistani citizens have been killed. And tens of others have been detained alive.
همدغه راز په دوهمه درجه کې د زیاتو بریدونو په تنظیم کې پاکستانی اتباع شکیل وو.
And similarly, to a lesser degree, Pakistani citizens have been involved in the organization of different attacks. Over 20 Pakistani citizens have been killed in operations conducted by our security forces. Hundreds of others have been detained.
چ بهرنی شریر عناصر د دوی لارې افغانستان ته را داخليږي په کلکه غواړو چې خپل زميني او هوايي سرحدات په جدي توګه کنټرول کړي
We ask those countries as in Pakistan and Tajikistan whose citizens are involved in malign activities in Afghanistan to control their frontiers
او پرې نږدې چې افغانستان ته د دوی لارې شریر عناصر را داخل شي
and to not allow malign elements to enter Afghanistan through their territory. And that, until Fazlur Rahman's visit and whether or not he can be the saviour of Afghanistan-Pakistan relations, is reflective of a growing war of words between Afghanistan and Pakistan. The second development, which is relatively limited in its importance, relates to the levying of sanctions against two ministers in the Taliban's cabinet by the United States. So on the 9th of December, The US Special Representative to Afghanistan, Thomas West, tweeted saying, امروز به مناسبت روز جهانی حقوق بشر ایالات متحده تحریم های را علیه دو رهبر طالبان که مسئول نقص جدی حقوق بشری افغان ها اند وضع کرد. Which is, and we're going to rely on Google Translate here, especially for those that are listening, those can see it. Today, on the occasion of International Human Rights Day, the US imposed sanctions on two Taliban leaders responsible for serious human rights violations against Afghans. And the link is to the State Department's website, which specifies these two ministers as being Fereydoon Mahmoud, the head of the Afghan Academy of Sciences, as well as Khalid Hanafi, the Minister of the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice, on the ministry on which I wrote a lengthy article for New Lines magazine. Earlier this week, I spoke to Barnett Rubin, an American political scientist, expert on Afghanistan, author of many books, former advisor to the US Special Representative to Afghanistan and Pakistan during the Obama administration, and distinguished fellow at the Stimson Center in the US, as to what these sanctions reveal or signify about the Biden administration's approach to Afghanistan. Do they signify any sort of change? How can we interpret these? Barnett Rubin said that the sanctions reflect Biden's wish to be seen as following a foreign policy based on human rights without taking the difficult actions that such a policy would actually require. It seems like a totally tone-deaf thing to do. What is the US opinion about referring Israel to the ICC? Rubin is, of course, referring to the astounding duplicity in the US's application of human rights amidst the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, facilitated, funded, armed, and supported by the US. Rubin went on to say that with respect to Afghanistan, the sanctions mean the administration will continue to castigate the Taliban as a kind of virtue signaling without taking any concrete actions to help Afghanistan except sending some money for humanitarian aid. It reminds me of what Karbalov once told me, whatever you do to Pakistan, they deserve, but it won't work. The same holds true for the Taliban. The Karbalov that Rubin is referring to, of course, is Zamir Karbalov, who, funnily enough, is currently the Russian special envoy to Afghanistan, who we discussed in the previous podcast on Russo-Afghan relations. And that was the major news coming out of Afghanistan as the year 2023 ended. Like I said, we have written a detailed newsletter covering the second half of 2023, including the mining deals, the economic development, the diplomacy, etc. that we saw in the second half of 2023. Up until next time, however, once again, please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, press the notification bar so you don't miss any of our content as it comes out. And once again, if you agree with our cause of Afghans leaving and redefining the discussion on Afghanistan, due to the fact that we cannot rely on mainstream media to tell our stories for us, as evidenced by the current massacre in Gaza, you can always support us by becoming a patron on our Patreon or through a one-time donation via PayPal. Up until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.